Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Thank you so much, Audrey. Thank you very much. We are back. We keep those organizing phrases simple. If you haven't read the book, 1896 book, by the way, called The Crowd, you should read it. Many of the great leaders of the world, often on the dictator side, lived by that book. And the idea was to keep those organizing phrases simple, keep the crowd uninformed, and get them riled up and get what you want. But anyway, take a look at that book sometime if you haven't. If you haven't read Ann Coulter's book, Demonic, the title's kind of deceiving, but I guess that would fit in with being demonic, but it talks a lot about the crowd and how that book was so influential, and particularly with Mussolini and Hitler and all kinds of current politicians who follow those lines. They don't have those evil intents, but they have the idea of organizing the world with a not-too-informed electorate. But anyway, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show and the Jumble Justice Radio Show, excuse me. And you're on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank Johnny Cash for giving us that wonderful song again. Very difficult to sing, but lovely to hear. And we want to thank Mike, of course, and he's here tonight, and Lucy's not, but Audrey for the hard work she does in helping to get our show ready. What we're trying to do here is discuss some news issues and events and developments in this field of criminal justice, which is difficult. We'll have some stories about that tonight, of course. And these people do things for us that we don't even know. All we hear about is cops, about crime and shooting and all that kind of business, and it's a difficult job from that standpoint, but it's not the world's most dangerous job. I don't know if people know that or not. Anyway, cab driver, convenience store clerk, those are all more dangerous jobs. But cops do a lot of service things. Only one out of three calls in the largest cities in the United States have anything to do with a crime. So when you join a police department, you better be willing to help people. That's the motivation, and that's what good police departments of all sizes look for. So we dedicate our show to those cops and corrections and juvenile justice and court professionals who do that. And I have a liking for judges. A lot of people don't like judges one way or the other, but judge is a tough job to stick with. You know, you see them out in front, but they got to do stuff, you know, behind the scenes also in terms of preparing for court cases. So anyway, we're glad we have a good criminal justice system in this United States of America. Many places don't. What's possible with this Blog Talk Radio business, if you haven't heard, is you can get a show. So any person in the interest group, no matter what your topic is, you can have a show and you can get signed up in literally about 5 minutes and start broadcasting worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners. Isn't that incredible? And streaming audio, it's still a marvelous thing, and I keep promising that I'm going to find out how many shows there are on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I haven't done that, but it's literally thousands, I'm sure. Tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. Have you heard that there's something going on the Arizona and Texas and New Mexico border lately? Yes, I guess you probably heard about that. In fact, we're expecting about 207,000 illegals to be in here by September, and that's about a year's worth. And you've seen pictures of all the children. Of course, they say about 60 or 70% of these are not children. Even the ones that are young are lying about their age. They're not little teenagers. They're 19, and they're saying they're 14 or whatever. But anyway, I've been down on that border. You've heard me talk about it before, and it's a tough job. And we're at the point. We're at the point where if we don't do something about this, this is going to have devastating consequences for the United States. I won't promise you that. I'll just tell you that. And then we'll see later on whether I was correct or not. I'm not the only one that says this. We have tinkered with this too long. And it is simple. You know, we want comprehensive immigration reform. Okay, we want 95 different things in one bill, and then it'll add 14 from one side and 17 from the Republican side and all that business. We need one thing to start with. Close the border. Then we can take our time and rest, take care of these people who are here, get them back to where they belong, and then have our nation again use legal immigration. I've heard somebody talk today, I forget where they said the people were from, but they've been trying 7 years to get into the United States legally, going through all the processes that you have to go through. And I know some Romanians that had tried the same thing and they just gave up. It just took too long. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to have a go back into the past, way back in the early 1950s, and our guest segment of the show is going to be a replay of an old-time radio show that lasted 2 years. Joel McRae was the star. We've used it, I think, one other time on the show, one of the shows. There's like 90 of them listed, 80 or 90 of them listed on archive.org. But our show tonight is going to be called, entitled, Joel McRae was the star, as a Texas Ranger, famous actor, and the show is going to be called Illegal Entry. What a title, right? And they were writing about this back in early 1950s. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. Let's go ahead and take a look at a blonde joke. I got more than I can deal with here tonight in terms of a blonde joke, but let's try and see what we can get through. This is a blonde joke per month. All right, the January joke is the blonde took a new scarf back to the store because it was too tight. February, blonde was fired from a pharmacy job for failing to print labels. The bottles won't fit in the typewriter. March, got excited, finished a jigsaw puzzle in 6 months. The box said 2 to 4 years, meaning the age of the kids. April, trapped on an escalator for hours. The power went out. Tried to make Kool-Aid. 8 cups of water won't fit into those little packages. Tried to go water skiing, but couldn't find a lake with a slope. Lost a breaststroke swimming competition. Later learned other swimmers cheated. They used their arms. Got locked out of the car in a rainstorm. The car swamped because the top was down. The capital of California is C, isn't it? C. One blonde hates M&Ms because they're so hard to peel. Baked turkey for 4.5 days. Instruction said 1 hour per pound. And the blonde said she weighed 108 pounds. Couldn't call 911. There was no 11 button on. There was no 11 button on the telephone. Is that incredible? No 11 button on the telephone. Well, I think that deserves some laughter and applause. those blonde jokes. So let's take a look at some of the news, and I want to not spend too much time on this because we want to have a time to hear the whole show about the Texas Rangers and illegal entry is the title of that one. Let's do our blonde joke, our green tip for tonight. Our green tip is this. I was looking at some discoveries, what they considered some of the weirdest and good discoveries, I suspect, on ways to save energy. This one says that 20% of our total domestic energy usage is from hot water for showering and bathing. Now, I would have never guessed that. That's over 6 times the energy usage of domestic lighting. So designer Tommaso Colia came up with this eco-friendly shower design that will force you to get out when you take too long and waste too much water. The EcoDrop shower features beautiful concentric circles that will rise to force you to stop showering when you take too long. In other words, you stand on these things. I've seen pictures of this. You could probably find it on the net. And as you take too long, these things rise up and I guess make you uncomfortable and let you know you're supposed to get out of the shower. Okay, how about that one? Well, let's look at some CJ News tonight, criminal justice news. We have got a mail carrier down here in Columbus, Ohio. He's been delivering some of the mail, but the mail carrier has stashed thousands of pieces of undelivered mail at his home over 18 months. The U.S. Postal Service began investigating last year after residents along the route in Columbus reported that their DVDs had not arrived as expected. The Columbus paper says that Charles Moore has been charged with destroying or delaying mail. The paper said they found 13,000 pieces of mail on top of Moore's freezer. What? 13,000 pieces of mail on top of Moore's freezer, in his closets, in a bedroom, and in the basement when they searched his home in July of 2013, as a matter of fact. He can face up to 5 years in prison if he is convicted. How about that? I think this is an interesting one. Ohio is weighing the idea of using drones to help keep watch over our prisons. So the prison agency says they're weighing the use of drones as a security measure, keeping watch over corrections facilities, yards, and fences. The Department of Rehabilitation and Correction, I think we're the only state left that kept correction and rehabilitation in its title, is taking public comments over the next month about the proposal for unmanned aerial vehicles at the Lebanon Correctional Institution and at the Warren Correctional Institution in southwestern Ohio. Isn't that interesting? The agency is considering 3 camera options: a tethered helium balloon, a quadcopter, I think I know what that is, and a fixed-wing vehicle. I think a quadcopter is that drone with like 4 propellers on it. Chris Maybe, that's his name, Maybe, pronounced Maybe, president of the Union for Prison Guards, doesn't oppose the concept, but says evidence shows prison violence is best handled more by the staff. Yeah, but I think what they're trying to do is by kind of keep them from going over the fence and, they could watch over in the yards that way too. So, drones are here to stay. You're hearing about them tonight, flying all over Gaza and Israel, flying them all over the place to figure out where to bomb and where not to bomb and all that type of thing. this is kind of an interesting idea. It's been going on since the beginning of time. But the California death penalty's been declared unconstitutional by a federal judge. And the reason is because they take too long to execute the person. They have about 40% of California's 748 death row inmates have been there more than 19 years. California is a big state, and they have the most people on death row. And so all kinds of people have commented on this. A Berkeley professor says that this is a factually dense and well-seasoned was likely to be cited in other cases in California. Doug Berman, a sentencing expert at Ohio State University Law School, said the ruling could generate appeals in dozens of other states. And then we've got other people who have said, that this won't happen because they'll get past this. But you've heard me comment on the death penalty, and if you're really interested in the death penalty, you need to read my co-author's book, Death Quest. There's two versions of it. That's Robert Boehm, Dr. Robert Boehm, and he and I wrote the very well-selling book called Introduction to Criminal Justice, published by McGraw-Hill. But anyway, you want to be tough enough to have the death penalty when we finally went back to the death penalty, but you don't want to be mean enough to do it. And that's really the case. Texas and Oklahoma, you can just not believe if you get the death penalty, it's going to happen. Oklahoma more so than anybody. Texas the same way. You're not going to be down there 15 years, although they've had some, a couple lately that have been there quite a while. But you're going to be executed. And that's fair to the person being executed in my mind, although you've probably heard me say I'm of the 8 or 9 arguments pro and con for the death penalty. There's a pro and con side of each. The one I'm a little shaky about is, would I have somebody else do it for me if I wouldn't do it myself? In other words, if they asked me to get in and pull the switch or, you know, whatever the system is, get the public involved, would I do it? And I'd have to think a lot about that. Are there people who deserve the death penalty? Yes. There's no question about that. That's called retribution. You're getting it because you deserve it. But anyway, we'll have to see what happens on that one. There's the California bank robbery that is kind of interesting. I used to teach a course called Analysis of Robbery and looked at all kinds of robbers, and bank robbers was one of them. I'm not going to go over this because it'll take too long. But these guys took hostages. I mean, really dumb, I'm thinking. Fleeing a California bank, they took 3 hostages and led police on a chase over 100 miles per hour. Good bank robbers probably pull off 5 or 6 or 7 of these things, and then they get caught. And some of them are out of the business after that. Same with burglars. Burglars are willing to do their 3 or 4 years in prison because they get caught once or twice every 200 times. Dumb burglars, opportunists, I'm walking by, whatever, I think I'll break into the house. They get caught a lot. They're stupid. Have you heard about the Connecticut state trooper who pleads guilty to stealing from a dying motorcycle accident victim? This Connecticut state trooper pled guilty. He stole cash and jewelry from a dying accident victim. And what he took, he was a 19-year veteran of the state police. He was caught on video from his cruiser's dashboard camera stealing a gold chain and a $3,700 from a 49-year-old John Scalese as a motorcyclist lay dying on the street in September of 2012. Isn't that incredible? I mean, do they have an IQ test for the Connecticut State Trooper? I'm stealing from a guy and my dash cam is on. Duh. Doesn't sound very sensible to this. Let's have one more news story. I did want to mention the pot. If you're renting a car out of the airport, Denver International Airport, you're likely to find dope inside because the people will go there for these dope things. They'll rent a car. You know, pot's legal now. And they don't want to chance taking this stuff anymore, so they just leave it in the rental car. So, you know, that's a one-up on getting a rental car, right? I mean, you get car, plus you get some weed. And then another one about that is that California, Southern California now has over 200 businesses that will deliver weed for you to your home or some other location. You can't smoke, can't toke it up in public, so they'll deliver it to your house. And they say the business is just booming. It's a weed speed or speed for weed or whatever they call it. But isn't that incredible? Just absolutely incredible. Okay, we're going to take a listen to this old-time radio show called the Texas Rangers. I don't know what you know about the Texas Ranger. They're a very, very old. They were a part of the Texas when it was a country. And for decades, they've reported there's always about 80, 90, 100 of them, something like that. They reported directly to the governor. And then one of my books, one done with Mark Stalvo, a super crime analyst for the Dallas Police, is called Crime and Punishment in the Lone Star State. And we have 2 articles in there. We edited the book plus wrote some original. But these are articles written by other people. One's called Twilight of the Texas Rangers, and the other one is called Texas Rangers Revisited. And they've been reorganized now. They're now part of the Department of Public Safety, but a fine organization, and they can wear whatever kind of uniform they want. I don't think there's a required uniform anymore. And a very interesting group and a tremendous history. But anyway, this radio show lasted 2 years, I think from about 1950 to 1952. And the show that we're going to listen to tonight is about illegal immigration. Can you believe that? An illegal immigrant committing a crime. The title of the show is called Illegal Entry. So give me some time to set this up. It'll take just a minute or so. So here we go with Illegal Entry.
Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Chase Pearson. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Chase Pearson. Another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Places in the following story are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Friends, every day, Monday through Friday, there's top entertainment all day long when you set your radio dial to NBC. Listen for Double or Nothing and you'll hear one of radio's funniest quiz shows. Walter O'Keefe consistently comes up with great comedy entertainment Monday through Friday on Double or Nothing. Listen and you'll agree. And then there's the program with a heart, Strike It Rich. The grand entertainment that Warren Hull brings you every day on Strike It Rich is just what the doctor ordered if you suffer from the housework blues. And from Chicago, Tommy Bartlett brings you Welcome Travelers, interviews with the many interesting guests who each day pass through the Windy City. And for more fun, listen for Bob and Ray, those two zany comics. Then, of course, there's Music and Charm with Dave Garraway. So remember, every day, Monday through Friday, chase your blues away with the wonderful daytime program on this station of the NBC Radio Network. Now here's today's Tales of the Texas Rangers.
And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Illegal Entry.
It is 10:30 on a night late in August, 1940. In the southwest Texas town of El Corso, near the border, the streets of the Mexican section are dark and quiet. A man stands smoking a cigarette in a doorway on one of the darker streets. When he hears steps approaching, he throws his cigarette away. Hey, senor.
Si.
I want to ask you something.
Si, what is it?
You know some people named Gomez live on this street?
Yes, senor. On this street there are maybe 10 Gomez families. Which one do you mean?
They're supposed to live at number 624. I couldn't find a house.
Well, this is no surprise. The house numbers they go only to 500.
Well, this can't be. Here, look, it's written on this piece of paper, 624.
Yes, it's too dark. I cannot see the paper.
Can you see it, man? Hey,
Jack, thank
you. You make one move, you never move again.
What do you want?
Your money, give it to me, all right?
I got no money.
Give it to me.
I say I got no money. If I got money, you're not going to get it to you. Sure.
Give me that knife.
Hey, I'll give it to you.
My arm.
Help! 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 Help me! Come back here! Stop it! Stop the thief! He's going up the stairs!
Get back, Aki! What are you going to
do? Get back in that room. Shut up, Rice, slit your throat.
You
all alone here?
Yeah, where you want?
Where's the door, Lito?
I'll get back.
Come on, we go out.
But listen, you're
not... Damn it, use his knife and...
All right, come on.
Wait a minute. His pocketbook on the table. You got money in there?
Señor, please. It's my favorite of all. Please.
Say, this is better. Yeah. Now we go down. Go on. Go down. You remember the knife and you were right behind you. Come on, hurry. Come here. Now look. We're going out to the street. Anybody stop us, we're just out for a walk. You hear that? Now, put your arms around my...
The knife?
See? And if you tip off anybody, I push that knife right through you. Now, come on. Walk. This way. To the right.
Where are you taking me?
Shut up and walk. Come on, Pat.
The people searching for the fugitive became suspicious when they saw a light on the Maria Santos front door and failed to receive an answer to their knocking. The sheriff was summoned. When he gained entrance to the room and saw the back door open, he phoned for assistance from the Texas Rangers. Rangers Jace Pearson and Clay Morgan were assigned. Ranger Morgan arrived first, and after a preliminary investigation, went out to his car to send a radio call. Can KDXA give lab crews approximate time of arrival?
Lab crew will be in Corso within 2 hours.
10-4, Unit 22 clear.
KDXA also.
Over here, Jace.
Been here long, Clay?
Oh, maybe half an hour. Let the sheriff in charge upstairs.
What I got said a hold-up man stabbed somebody.
Yeah, and then took off. Happened about 2 hours ago.
Fellow hurt bad.
Just his arm. He helped chase the thief. People around here think the man went into this building.
What do you think?
Well, I know he's not here now. There's a room upstairs with a back door open. The man could have gotten in and taken the girl to live there along with him for protection.
Sure she wasn't in on the deal?
Well, I thought of that, but the fellow who was stabbed said there was only one person. The stuff from the girl's purse is dumped all over the place. She could have been robbed, too.
Anybody get a good look at the thief?
Well, the victim said the man was Mexican. Couldn't see his face, though, too dark.
Any possibility of prints up in the girl's room?
Well, I found a few on her purse, pretty blurred. They could be the girls. I called the lab, anyhow.
Well, looks like our best bet's to find that girl. Do you have a description of her?
Better than that. Found a picture in her room.
Yeah.
One on the left is her. I'm going to take it over to the sheriff's office now and put it on the wire.
Anybody doing a house down?
Yeah, deputies are taking care of that. Well, I better get moving. You coming along?
No, I reckon I'll get upstairs and have a quick look around. And I'll give those deputies a hand looking for the girl.
Okay, Jay. See you as soon as I
can. Wait.
Oh, hello, Sheriff.
Oh, howdy, Jace. You're just in time.
What's up?
My deputy called. They've located Maria Santos.
She all right?
I don't know. My men found her in a boxcar down at the freight yards.
When we arrived at the freight depot, we saw attendants carrying Maria Santos on a stretcher toward an ambulance. She'd been badly beaten, but she was still conscious. We decided that since she was the only person who had seen the man we were after, it was necessary to get a statement from her immediately. I got the doctor's permission to question Maria on the way to the hospital. As soon as she was settled in the ambulance, I climbed in.
She could still be around the yard somewhere, Clay.
Yeah, Sheriff and I'll go over the place with a fine-tooth comb. See you later, Jace.
I'm Ranger Pearson, Miss Santos.
Do you find me?
No. That's why I'd like to ask you a few questions. Will it hurt you 2 months to talk?
I can talk, senor. It's only that... Oh, my God.
Did he stab you?
And when we walked to the street, you see him the knife in my body. He just stabbed me.
You get a good look at his face?
Oh, yes, senor. The face I will never forget.
Have you ever seen him before?
No, senor. I don't think he's from El Corso. Maybe... Maybe he's from Mexico.
Can you give me an idea what he looked like? Something that'll help us identify him.
Well, he had 2 scars.
What kind of scars?
One under his eye, a little one, and a bigger scar at the corner of his mouth. make him look like he's always smart. Now, this one, he's not the kind of smart.
Did he take you directly from your room to the freight yards?
He made me walk through the streets with him. Sometimes we pass people, and I want to yell, but he wouldn't like them. But it kept sticking.
What happened when you got the freight yards?
Well, we walked, and we keep on walking. I was tired, but he wouldn't let me stop. Then I hear the sheep cry.
The sheep?
See, on the first train. The train began to move, and all of a sudden, this man, he get excited. He made me run over to a boxcar that stand by his fence.
Was that when he hit you?
I think so. It's hard to remember now.
Did you see where he ran after he hit you?
No, senor. The last thing I remember, I see his face. His mouth that looked like he was smiling.
And you don't have any idea if he ran toward that moving train?
No. Senor, this man, you think maybe he'd get away on the train?
That's hard to say, Miss Santos. We're going to do our best to find out. As soon as we reached the hospital, I got a ride back to the freight yards. Our man had not been found. I figured it was more than an even chance he'd escaped on the freight train Maria described. I checked with the train master. He informed me that a train carrying sheep had left several hours before. It was a slow freight due in Lubbock at noon the next day. I picked up Clay and we headed north on the highway, which paralleled the railroad tracks.
Ought to be catching up with the train pretty soon, Jase.
Uh-huh.
What do you figure I'm doing when we come alongside?
Much we can do till it's light.
I was thinking about that. If we try to stop the train now, they might get away in the dark, but it won't be light for over an hour.
I know.
Bet that's it up ahead. Aren't those caboose lights?
Looks like them. It's not moving very fast.
Gives you a funny feeling knowing our man might be riding that baby. Wish we could be sure, though.
I got a hunch he had a train getaway in mind when he took the girl down to the freight yard in El Torso.
What are we going to do? Drive alongside the train till daylight?
That's too risky. If he is aboard and happens to spot us, he'll get suspicious and skip. It'd better if we stop someplace up ahead and wait for him.
Got any ideas?
Not yet. Get the map out of the glove compartment, will you, Clay?
Yeah. What do you want to know?
See if you can locate the next station the train's due to pass through.
All right. Let's see. There, nearest town from here would be Hamlet, about 12 miles up ahead.
12 miles? That won't give us too much time. Anything north of that?
Not for 40 miles.
Well, then it'll have to be Hamlet.
What do you have in mind?
We need some advice about the best place to have the train stop. Got to get word to the engineer and warn him what's going to happen. Unit 10 to KTXA.
KTXA, Unit 10. Go ahead, Unit 10.
This unit now alongside northbound freight train number 24. Position 12 miles south of Hamlet. Believe man who committed El Corso holdup aboard train. Can KTXA relay message immediately to Railroad Operations Chief?
What is the message you have here?
In order to make search of train as early as possible after daylight, this unit requests that engineers stop train at some suitable point north of Hamlet, Texas. Suggest unpopulated open area to be selected to reduce chance of fugitives escape. This unit will check with Hamlet's station master to learn if message was received in time for him to deliver it to the train.
10-4.
And then, where?
Now there's the engine, Jake. George is straining up that hill.
Yeah. Hope it keeps on moving slow. A lot of things have to happen before that train passes through Hamlet. Door must be around the other side.
Yeah.
Sounds like the station master's doing some checking. Could be the message for that freight. If he doesn't check any faster, the metal train will be in Lubbock before he finishes.
Howdy, Ted. Hey, you must be them rangers wanting to have 24 stops.
That's right.
Just got the message in on the ticker here. Tighten it up now.
And don't let us disturb you.
Oh, you ain't disturbing me. Not a bit. As long as I've been here, I learned how to type pretty good. And talk same time. Gonna have the engineer stop 24 up at Twin Forks Junction. If that's all right with you fellas.
How far is that from here?
18.5 miles. Well, it'd be good in light time if you get there.
Pretty flat country.
Oh, flat in the palm of your hand. You can see 2 or 3 miles both sides of the track.
That's fine. Hey, is that the train?
Yep, that's her. Right on time, too.
Well, are you sure you're gonna finish that message before it gets here?
Why, sure. She's got a good quarter mile yet. Here we are. Now, just get me a couple of water loops. When I landed, I'll be ready.
Can we help you?
Nope. We got him right over here. Yep. Hey, I understand there's some kind of criminal on that train.
We think so. I don't want to rush you, but that train sounds pretty close.
Now, don't you worry, Ranger. She's only down by the first switch. Got plenty of time. Old Steve Dillon and his conductor will have their arms through those hoops just when they're supposed to. You Rangers want to come out on the platform with me?
Yeah, we'll come along, but we'll have to stay out of sight. It's our man happens to be watching.
Sure. You can stand right behind these posts here.
Thanks.
Can't nobody see from the train behind these here posts. Yeah, be back in a minute or two, Rangers.
By the way he was moving, I was sure he wouldn't make it. I reckon only been at this as long as he has, you get pretty good at time.
Continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Chase Pearson.
Have you ever seen lightning strike? Then you know how cerebral palsy strikes, swiftly, crazily, without warning. And it could happen to you or to your child. If you should be stricken as a result of an accident or shock or illness, you'd need costly and highly specialized care. But would that care be available? It's shocking but true that right now, 92 out of every 100 who suffer from cerebral palsy must go without that necessary care because there just aren't enough facilities. Think of it, hundreds of thousands of people suffering needlessly when they could be helped. But in spite of this tragedy, there's still hope, real hope that stems from present-day research and treatments. You can help the more than 550,000 sufferers of cerebral palsy get these vitally needed benefits and become self-sufficient citizens. Send your contributions to United Cerebral Palsy, care of your local postmaster. Forget them not. And now the second act of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers and our authentic story, Illegal Entry.
We drove toward Twin Forks Junction where the train was due to stop. On the way, we radioed headquarters and asked for some officers from the nearest town to assist us. Four of them were waiting when we arrived just past daybreak at the junction. As I gave the men last-minute instructions, the train was visible in the distance. We don't have much time, men, so we better get moving. Constable, you take a man and head down the track. Work from the caboose forward as soon as the train stops. You other two men cross the track. When the train stops, split up and work from the middle toward both ends.
Okay.
If you spot him, sing out.
Yeah.
I reckon we better get the rifles, Chase, just in case he makes a break across that flatland.
Yeah.
Sure hope he hasn't jumped off somewhere along the line.
If he got on, I don't think he jumped.
He doesn't know we're on this trail.
I guess you're right, Dad. He'd be anxious to get as far as he could from El Corso.
Hey, she comes.
Better get over and signal engineer exactly where we want him to stop.
Looks like he's going pretty fast. Reckon that old station master got the message picked up?
I don't think so.
Let's go.
Want to try this box car first?
Uh-huh.
All right. Not in here.
Next one's a sheep car.
Probably won't find him in there.
We go check to make sure if he's quiet, huh? That gondola car down there.
Yeah.
See? Somebody poked his head over the side just for a second.
Come on, we
know you're in there. Come on out.
Shoot yourself. Hold this rifle. I'm going up and get him.
Right. I'll keep the cover, Jace. Oh, what's the matter?
Okay, you. Come on, get up and get out of that corner. I said, come on.
Let me go.
Better? Now I'll take it.
My shoulder.
Come on, get out of this car. Move. Okay, up over the side.
You all right, Dave?
Yeah.
What do you want from me? I didn't do nothing.
Yeah, looks like the boy we want, Jason. I don't know. There's two scars on his face. Check with the description.
Yeah.
Tell the engineer to go ahead, buddy. Sure.
Okay. We've got him.
What's your name?
I didn't do nothing. What do you want me for?
What's your name?
Jose La Cruz.
You're under arrest, Jose.
Okay.
Robbery, assault, and kidnapping. Come on.
I don't go nowhere. You don't get me.
Put the cuffs on him, Clay.
You got the wrong man, Senor. I didn't do nothing.
Maybe not. A couple of people saw you last night. Could be you change your tune when they see you again. Come on. We took our prisoner back to El Corso and delivered him to the sheriff. For 2 hours, Jose denied all charges against him. At noon, the sheriff had him taken back to his cell. We phoned the hospital and learned that Maria Santos and Felipe Rivera, the man who had been stabbed, were both well enough to come down and make an identification. I picked up the two witnesses, and at 1 o'clock, we walked along the courthouse corridor.
You're sure when I see these men, you will not hurt me?
There's not much chance of that, miss.
Scarce. Just to remember things enough to make my back bone cold.
I'd like to have him alone for 5 minutes. Only 5 minutes. He's a bad one, this man.
Yeah? Just go right in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we wanted to know. You have a record of the girl's name? Yeah, hold on. Getting some interesting dope on our boy, Jace. Good. You remember Miss Santos and Mr. Rivera?
Sure.
Both of you feeling better today?
Oh, si, senor.
The sheriff in the next room?
I'm doing some paperwork.
You folks make yourselves comfortable. I'll be right back. I got the witnesses outside, Sheriff.
Yeah, fine, Jace.
I'll fall upstairs and have my deputy bring Jose down. I'll be in there as soon as I finish his report.
Okay,
take your time.
Come here a second, Jace.
Seems Jose is quite a record, here and in Mexico. What's he been up for here? Petty theft. He was on a labor contract about 15 months ago. Got a 60-day sentence after he'd been here a month. He was deported as soon as he was released from jail.
How about Mexico?
He wanted there for armed robbery. Could be why he didn't head back over the border after last night.
Might be another reason.
What's that? A girl by the name of Lupi Alvarez? How does she fit in? Jose used to go with her. At his trial, he told the judge he stole the money so he could marry her.
Howdy, folks.
Reckon you can identify the man who roughed Jeff last night?
I know him, senor, but if I hear his voice...
I really know his face. It's hard to forget.
Yeah. He should have been down here by now. I better go see what's holding up the works. Remember now, when he comes in, you don't have to say anything till he's out of the room again. Just take a good look at him.
You will ask him to talk, senor?
Sure. We'll have him talk.
I'm still afraid, senor.
You don't have to worry about a thing, Miss Santos. What's that? Sounds like the sheriff's calling us. Come on.
Yeah.
Where are you, sheriff?
Right out here.
Holy, it's the deputy. What happened, sheriff? He's been slugged and his gun's gone. Jose's gotten away. We sent out an all-points bulletin on Jose, and we started combing the town for him. He disappeared without leaving a trace. We decided that Lupi Alvarez, the girl whose name appeared on Jose's record, might possibly give us a lead. The following day, we checked her home in Laredo. An aunt told us that Lupi and her family were in North Texas, picking cotton, to be found on a farm outside Middle River. On the afternoon of the next day, we arrived at the farm. Lupi was out in the field, but the foreman pointed out her mother lugging a sack of cotton toward the scales.
Sí, I'm Rosa Alvarez. You are a huge time. So on your breast, but it's hard work to carry the cotton.
We'd like to talk to you about your daughter, Mrs. Alvarez.
Why, Lupe? Lupe has done nothing, senores.
We know that. We're trying to find a friend of hers, Jose Lagura.
Oh, this one. He's no friend of Lupe.
Didn't she used to go with him?
No, senor. Oh, once Lupe she go out with Jose. Oh, she do not like him. Jose, he's crazy for her. He run after her. He make Lupe afraid. He's a bad one, this Jose.
Has Lupe heard from him recently?
No, senor. Lupe, she does not even know if he's back from Mexico.
How did you know he was back?
Why should I not know, senor? He was here only a few hours ago.
What?
See, when I bring the Lord Patton before this one, Jose, he stand by the stage. He's a crazy man. He see me, he ask me where Lupe is.
Did you tell him?
Me tell Jose where Lupe is? No, senor. I lie to him. I said Lupe is in town today.
Do you know where Jose went?
See, first he tried to borrow money from me. When I said no, he go to Juan. The boy who drive one of the trucks for the cousin jail. He asked Juan for a ride into town.
Did he take him?
See, Juan, he does not like Jose, but he's a nice boy. He take Jose with him.
Juan come back yet?
No, senor. Many trucks come to the cotton gin. Sometimes Juan have to wait 6 to 8 hours. Maybe he's still there.
Thanks.
Please, senores, if you find Jose, you will not tell him where Lupe is. She will make trouble for her.
Don't worry, senora. We find Jose, we're going to see he doesn't make trouble for anybody. Not for a long while. We went to the cotton gin and found Juan, the boy who had driven Jose into town. His truck was in the middle of a line of trucks which moved slowly toward the gym. Juan told us Jose had borrowed $3 from him and gone on into town to get something to eat. He'd asked Juan to wait at the gym, saying he wanted to ride with him back to the farm. We decided our best chance for picking up Jose was to watch Juan's truck. We stood behind an empty wagon near the gym and waited. I don't know, Jace. It's been over an hour. Maybe we'd have done better to cover the town instead of waiting for him here.
Maybe.
But I think you'll head back here. You want to get out to the farm and make another try to see Lupe.
He could have walked.
Not likely he did. 6 miles out there. He knows he's got a sure ride here with Juan.
All the same, I'd feel better if I knew exactly where he was. Don't forget he's got that deputy's gun. And he...
Clay.
Huh?
Walking toward the truck.
Yeah. Look at the way he's staring.
Hey,
you think he didn't use that $3 for food?
Why do you feel so there like that, huh? Oh, my God. Hey, hey, why?
I don't know if you work all the time.
What come out of you work all the time?
Forget about Juan. You can talk to us now.
What?
Look! Look!
Thank you, Jose. Got a gun fight. Yeah, I got it. How are you fine? There's only one to tell you, huh?
Come on, Jose. A popular boy back in El Torso. We want to get you there fast.
No! I don't go. Let's get moving. Oh, don't go to El Torso.
It'll only be for a little while, Jose. And I think the state will give you a more permanent home.
In just a moment, we will tell you the results of the case you have just heard. Later today, friends, you're invited to hear the sparkling premiere performance of a new radio series, Best Plays. Best Plays will present a series of one-hour adaptations of many of the nation's great stage shows. Today you will hear Maxwell Anderson's Winter Set, co-starring Burgess Meredith and Maureen Stapleton. And later be sure to hear Meredith Wilson's Music Room. Meredith will bring you the finest in recorded music as well as interviews with some of the music world's greatest artists. Yes, Meredith Wilson's Music Room is another new addition to your Sunday lineup of great radio listening on the NBC Radio Network. And tomorrow, you'll hear more top musical entertainment on NBC. Monday's musical offerings this week include Eleanor Steeper on The Voice of Firestone, Dorothy Warren Schold and Gordon McRae on The Railroad Hour, and Michael Rabin on The Telephone Hour. So make your Monday evening listening a relaxing pleasure by tuning to all these wonderful musical shows. Now here is the conclusion of tonight's Tales of the Texas Rangers. And now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
Jose Lagura was tried and convicted on counts of armed robbery, felonious assault, and kidnapping.
He was sentenced to 23 years in the state prison at Richmond, Texas. The Mexican government requested that upon his release, he be sent to Mexico to serve sentence for crimes committed in that country.
Mexico portrayed another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen starring in San Francisco Story, a Warner Brothers release. In the cast, you heard Herb Ellis as Ranger Clay Morgan. The role of Jose Lagura was portrayed by Tony Barrett. And Lillian Bias was Maria Santos. Jeanette Nolan was heard as Rosa Alvarez. Al Marks played the role of the sheriff, and the station master was Jan Arbus. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Charles D. Israel, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keith. Hell, give me speaking.
Tonight, The Chase brings you more adventure on NBC.
Well, that was a Texas Ranger story, and by the way, on the site there are more than, I think there are about 90 shows, very intriguing titles, usually one or two words or three words, but Joel McRae starred in that particular show for about 2 years on radio. Remember radio? That's that medium where you can see the pictures better because they're in your mind. And a lot of people, I know people now have never listened to a radio show in their life. And in other words, a story like this, the one with characters, et cetera. But anyway, it's very, very interesting stuff. And we're going to call it a night and go back to that news about what's going on around the world. It seems like some important stuff. And we're going to have Vera Lynn sign us off tonight, as she usually does, singing that song, We'll Meet Again.
Again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know. Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing. We'll meet again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.